So last Sunday, we talked about math in the kingdom. And wasn't that great for you school kids to learn about math here at church? Wasn't that wonderful? We talked about how Jesus in the parable of the sower said this. And I won't read the whole thing now. Y'all have read it before. But he talked about how good seed combined with good soil produces growth measured by multiplication, not simple addition. Now, we're a small church. And as a small church, I think maybe we struggle with this idea of spectacular growth. And as a small church that has been small for quite a while, I wonder if maybe, just maybe, we struggle with the idea of any growth. How can this happen? And even if it did happen, is that something we even want to happen? Ooh, a hard question right here, right off the bat. Let's just put that one on the back burner for a while, okay? Just let that one simmer for a little while. Remember last week we also looked at, and I think we found, at least I found some encouragement, maybe some inspiration when it comes to this ever-present issue of church growth. Or really, probably we'd be better off saying kingdom growth. We found that inspiration from something that came across my Facebook page the other day. Remember this from last week? A guy named Bob Young, a friend of mine on Facebook, said, I worked with a church that by God's grace and power tripled in a dozen years. That's multiplication, right? I have described that time in these words. We did not know what we were doing, but we were having a great time doing it. We were doing it naturally, teaching the gospel, baptizing people, maturing people, building community, encouraging spiritual growth, helping new Christians reach out to bring friends and family to Jesus, and God gave the increase. Tripled in a dozen years, that's amazing, that's multiplication growth, but really that's what Bob calls natural growth, natural growth. All of this stuff, teaching the gospel, maturing people, building community, helping Christians reach out to bring friends and family to Jesus. That's a description of natural growth. And that's how it happened for Bob's church. That's how it could happen anywhere, even at Tammany Oaks. And I really love how he says here, we did not know what we were doing. They weren't following some type of a master plan, some kind of strategy taken from the corporate world and kind of hammered onto a church, a family of believers, something like this. Have y'all ever seen this in your corporate world, your corporate life, stuff like this? Some of you probably have. The key components to business growth strategy and all these things that you got to do, including identifying key success metrics. That's talking about measurement. How can we measure that we're actually doing the right thing? And on it goes. Some of y'all have probably seen that in your corporate world. How about something like this one? Even that's even wilder, isn't it? Oh my goodness, I get sick just looking at that. You know where I found it? Where I found this particular chart? It was in an article that I was reading that was entitled Five Reasons Church Growth Strategies Are Hindering Church Growth. Isn't that interesting? And there were some pretty good things in that article that I read, some interesting things in that article. There were also, unfortunately, some pretty sad things in that article. Some pretty dumb things in that article. Some hurtful things. Some things that brothers and sisters in Christ should not say about one another. I think the main problem with this kind of idea for church growth, is that it focuses so much on strategy and tactics. And which step are we on today? Step number 13 or whatever. It takes our minds and our eyes off of Jesus. That's the problem with it. It takes our mind and our focus away from Jesus. Now, I much prefer Bob Young's "we don't know what we're doing" idea. His no plan. No plan at all. We don't know what we're doing, but we're having a great time doing it. Now, you'll also remember from last week that it's a part of the Bob Young, "we don't know what we're doing, but having a great time doing it" natural growth plan. We looked briefly at this part here, helping new Christians reach out to bring family and friends to Jesus. Or shouldn't just focus on new Christians, but all Christians. And I mentioned that for us, a great opportunity to reach out and invite people is coming up in just 3 weeks, right? Anyone remember what it is? Sure, Back to Church Sunday, National Back to Church Sunday. That's 3 weeks from today. We're getting closer. We're getting closer. Now, I can picture in my mind some faces of some people that I would dearly love to see back here at church again. And I bet some of you can too. Some of y'all are probably seeing the same faces that I am, which is interesting. Obviously, you don't have to tell them, "now wait for 3 weeks before you come." They can come anytime, okay? They don't have to wait for National Back to Church Sunday to come. You don't have to wait to invite them. Tammany Oaks is always a welcoming, judgment-free zone for anyone to come back to the Lord or just to come to church for the first time. Amen? But perhaps you're new to the idea of talking to people and inviting them to church, of all places. And how do I start such a conversation? Well, maybe you could do like this guy here and wear your Tammany Oaks "I Love My Church" t-shirt, like Ellie's got on today. Ellie's got one on today. Some of y'all still have those. They're a little bit old, but I've still got... Oh, I didn't see what you had done there. Oh, that's awesome. That's awesome. Does anyone recognize the hole there? Andrew? Say it. Pebble Beach. Seven holes of Pebble Beach. Perfect. Exactly. Excellent. Excellent. But this can start a conversation, can't it? I mean, not everybody loves their church that they're at. Some people don't even know that you can love the church that you go to. And so, let them know, "hey, it is possible. I love my church. You could love it too. Come and see. Come and see. You could love it here." Well, if you don't have one of these awesome "I love my church" shirts, the good news is there's a new shirt coming out soon. And there it is. And the entire LaReal family is dressed out in them this morning. The samples. So check them out. But isn't this awesome? Look what it says. "Dear person behind me, the world is a better place with you in it. Jesus loves you. Love from the person in front of you." That is awesome. Now, the only way this shirt will work is you got to be in front of somebody. Amen? I mean, you got to get out and wear it in the store. You got to get out and wear it in line to the DMV or at line to get our water rations that might be coming out soon. Who knows? But you got to wear your shirts. But that'll be great. Unfortunately, they're not going to be here in time. These new shirts are not going to be here in time for National Baptist Church Sunday. But never fear. Look what else Bethany has done for us. She's created some invitations that look like this. And there's a bunch of them back there on that table under the TV in the foyer. And you can pick some up and use them as you talk to people over the next couple of weeks and invite them to National Back to Church Sunday here at Tammany Oaks. And you'll notice that the back side of the card is blank. It's totally blank, which means you can write anything you want on there, like your name or your phone number or whatever. God loves you, whatever. You can use that on the back. Just another tool to help us start some conversations with people and help us talk to them and invite them to join us on our journey here. And as we talked about last week, the theme for National Back to Church Sunday is rooted, the word rooted. You've kind of been hearing that a lot lately here in the last few weeks here. And the verse that this theme comes from is this: let your roots grow down into Him. Let your lives be built on Him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Rooted in Him, rooted in Christ, building our lives on Jesus Christ. Now that might actually sound a little bit strange to people who have no church connection. It might sound a little bit strange even to us who are followers of Jesus. Building your lives on Him. I was watching TV just yesterday and saw a commercial. Some of y'all probably have seen it too. Commercial for Chevrolet. And it said, quote, "Any truck can help you make a living. But a Silverado is something that will help you build a life. A Silverado. That's all you need to build your life on." Can you imagine? But I mean, the truth is, for a lot of people, I mean, Jesus is nice and all. And maybe I don't mind, or maybe I should say, maybe I don't mind too much putting in a little time at church on Sundays. Maybe even putting a little change in the collection plate, if I happen to think about it. But come on, man. What's this building a life on Jesus supposed to mean? This is the 21st century, man. I'm building a life on my job. I'm building a life on my career. I'm building life on a house and cars and Silverados and nice stuff for my family. Building a life on vacations, on my kids, sending my kids to school, on my grandkids, on my retirement. What's Jesus got to do with any of that stuff, that important stuff? Well, obviously, none of us at the Tammany Oaks Church of Christ would ever say that or anything like that or think that or actually live like that. No way, right? Well, let's be real, okay? I was going to say some of us all the time and all of us some of the time, but forget that. Let's just say, it's pretty easy to act like Jesus isn't really the foundation of our lives. To act like Jesus is just kind of an add-on, a little something we just throw into the big mix of everything else that's going on in our lives. Just a little flavoring maybe, a little salt. Lightly shaken on our overflowing plates, just to give it that flavor, that taste that we think God wants from us. But not too much. That would just be weird, right? Or maybe like usual, I'm just talking to myself again. Well, here's where, at least for me, our purpose statement here at the Tammany Oaks Church of Christ, it helps me, and maybe it helps you too. Remember this? Tammany Oaks Church of Christ is a family learning to speak God's words, learning to live His grace so the family will grow. We're learning these things. We haven't arrived yet. We don't fully understand yet. We don't fully comprehend yet what being followers of Jesus in the 21st century in South Louisiana is supposed to look like. We're still trying to figure that out. We're still learning what it means to build our lives on Jesus. We're still learning how to sink our roots deep into Him. We're still learning how to grow our faith strong in the truth that we're being taught and that we ourselves are teaching. And I believe that the more we put ourselves into a place where our open, and this is really important, our open hearts can learn to speak God's words and learn to live His grace, well, then the more we're going to find our roots are growing deep into the truth of Jesus. And the more we'll find ourselves just casting off all this stupid stuff about Silverados and growing our faith and our lives on, building our lives on Silverados and everything else this world has to offer. And finding that the true solid foundation in Jesus and the hope that He brings. And we keep doing that. And we keep doing that until finally, we're so caught up Jesus and in the hope that He brings, that our lives start to look like this. Our lives start to look like this. I love this picture. This tree, would you say, is solidly rooted? This one is solidly rooted, isn't it? In fact, it's kind of hard to tell where the tree ends and the roots begin, or where the roots end and the trees begin. That's why I love it so much. I want this. I want this picture here to be me and Jesus. I want this picture here to be you and Jesus. Where you just can't really tell where you end and Jesus begins. Won't that be great? Won't that be great? And if you saw my little Facebook teaser about the sermon about what being rooted in Jesus looks like, this is what it looks like. This is it. This is what it looks like. But it's not really an impossible dream, as much as it looks like it might be. It's not. Remember this story? It wasn't all that long after Jesus returned to heaven, ascended back to heaven. It wasn't all that long after the church got started with explosive multiplication growth on Pentecost. Well, two of the apostles, Peter and John, found themselves in front of the Jewish high court in all kinds of trouble, because they were talking about Jesus. Now, I don't know how many of you have spent much time in courtrooms. I've spent a lot in courtrooms. And I can tell you that courtrooms are purposely designed so that everyone, except for the judge or judges, are really uncomfortable and are really intimidated by being there. They're purposely designed like that. And obviously this is not the courtroom that Peter and John were in front of, but kind of picture something like this, okay? Totally designed to be completely intimidating to anyone dragged in there, and especially to people who've got no formal education or training, people who are not special in any way. And there they are, and the grand inquisitor there in the courtroom of this high court lashes out at Peter and John to bully them and to intimidate them even more, expecting them to just cower down in fear and trembling. Instead, y'all know what happened. They boldly proclaimed the gospel, the message of Jesus and his resurrection, right there in the courtroom. And it stunned the judges. It stunned them into silence. And here's what they suddenly realized. The leaders saw that Peter and John were not afraid to speak. And they understood that these men had no special training or education, so they were amazed. Then they realized that Peter and John had been with Jesus. They had been with Jesus. And being with Jesus had changed them. Had rooted them. Being with Jesus, being with your brothers and sisters, who in fact are the body of Jesus, will change you. Or it will change you if you let it. And one way it'll change you is shown at the beginning of this story of Peter and John. The thing that got the authorities mad enough to arrest them and haul them in front of the court in the first place. You remember what it was. They were headed into the temple to pray. And they encountered a crippled man. A man who had been crippled all of his life. More than 40 years. And he was begging there at the temple gate. And he asked them for money. You remember that? And this is what happened. Peter said, "I haven't got any silver or gold. But I'll give you what I have got. In the name of the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth, get up and walk." They didn't give the man what he wanted. They gave him what he needed. What he needed was a connection to Jesus. Yeah, his body was healed. But his spirit was healed too. Because they shared with him the good news of Jesus. And I know you nitpickers out there say, "Well, it doesn't say he was baptized." Come on, man. Read between the lines. Sharing the good news of Jesus. Like Ruthie talked about this morning. This is one of the things that the church, that all of Jesus' followers are rooted in. We are rooted in sharing. Rooted in sharing. It's throughout the book of Acts, isn't it, Paul? It's throughout the entire Bible. God's people are sharing people. They share meals. They share their money. But mostly, they share the good news of Jesus. Flip over a couple of chapters. Acts chapter 8. Serious persecution breaks out against the church and all the believers in Jerusalem. And it says they're scattered. Everybody is scattered out of Jerusalem. And you would think that would be the signal to cool it a little bit, to stop talking about this Jesus thing because it's getting us in trouble here. It wasn't. It was just the opposite, in fact, here. All those who've been scattered by the persecution moved from place to place, and wherever they went, They weren't afraid or silent. Instead, they spread the message of Jesus. And it's crazy. It's the craziest thing maybe you've ever read. What? Why would they do that? Well, number one, like Andy talked about, they have received freely, and now they're freely giving. Haven't we received the message of Christ freely? And for another thing, they were solidly rooted in Jesus. Because being rooted in Jesus, sharing what they had, sharing the good news of grace and love and hope, that's just a natural thing that they did. It's just a natural thing for them to do. It just flowed out of them. Even though it was dangerous, and even though it would have been safer
and simpler
to just stay quiet. We like to opt for simple, don't we? It's so much simpler just to stay quiet. So much simpler not to go to your neighbor and say, "Hey, would you like to come to church with me?" It's so much simpler just to be quiet. That was 2,000 years ago that these people scattered. And by the way, this wasn't the apostles. This was just the regular people of the church who couldn't help themselves but talk about Jesus wherever they went. And here we are, 2,000 years later. We're the spiritual descendants of those amazing believers. Their mantle has fallen to us. And those amazing believers from 2,000 years ago, they are now standing in the great cloud of witnesses, as the writer of Hebrews puts it. And they are cheering us on. They are encouraging us to share the gift we have received. So what are we going to do? Let's stand and sing and encourage each other.